still starting.
You're
still
live. Starting. I'm live. Live on my side. It's crazy.
Right. I'm going to start recording. Upload the Dropbox. Hey, folks. Welcome to the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty. This is coffee number 5 in the last 3 hours. So I might be a little more intense than usual, but usual is pretty flatline. So, you know, maybe it evens out. Today, we're not having a game because a couple of our players are MIA. Nick Garber is MIA, and Aid is apparently working on lady friend action. Can you guys hear me? I thought you were an Easter Island statue there for a second, man. I thought maybe I had lost video signal. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. I can't hear Walt. Can anyone else hear Walt?
Yes, I can hear Walt, and he sounds amazing.
All right.
He does. He's got a silky Barry White voice.
He does. He does. It's amazing he hasn't gone into audiobook recording. Now, I can occasionally see Alice laughing, but I can't hear Alice's Alice, are you there? Okay, she's
this
got
this is the high quality that we get on the Banff Podcast.
This is the scintillating entertaining.
Did that work?
Yeah,
fantastic.
It is.
Fantastic. Hi.
Hey. So this is our We're Not at Gen Con podcast. We're just going to talk about pop culture and gaming. And Brandon, you had a gaming thing you want to talk about, if I'm not mistaken, the new Marvel Miniatures game.
Oh, the article that I saw out of Gen Con is all that I've gotten on it. But apparently there is a not HeroClix, but a Marvel game that is coming out that will be, there's going to be a box starter set for it that will have, you know, probably the, I saw Iron Man and like Ultron and such like that. So, you know, movie Avengers type people in it. And then they're also going to be doing scenery for it. The way that the pictures look, it looks like they're going to be producing 3D scenery for it, things that you can interact with and use in the game, which I thought was super cool. So if you're Hulk, you can pick up the train and, you know, beat somebody to death with it. And then they've got MODOK is going to be coming out in one of their first expansion packs, which I thought was an awesome, interesting pick of somebody you never expect. Yeah, to see come out that early. And then Hulk, I think, was the other, was the heroic expansion pack that they have planned now.
MODOK's kind of a deep cut from the Marvel U. That's your casuals aren't going to know about MODOK.
But he is so great, and he needs a mini. Because let's face it, you can't just go out and find a mini that's going to look like MODOK.
No, this is true. There's not a lot of characters you can sub in for that.
Nope.
So, cool.
And, you know, I mean, I guess with enough filing or green stuff, you could probably make him the Supreme Intelligence.
Green stuff. Wow, there's a term I haven't heard in some time.
Oh, we still have some in the other
room. Does it mean the same thing to you that it does to us modelers?
It does. Yes, yeah. Okay. I have a friend who does some intense modeling.
I'm
not talking about on a catwalk.
I didn't know if maybe that was like when you went and used to, you know, execute aliens that were attacking our world, Walt, and the green stuff is after you got them real good.
I will not confirm or deny whether or not I'm on call for the whole Area 51 thing.
Well,
in other words,
if you want to know...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you want to know Walt's secret, you know, his story's coming out in a book soon. For Area 51.
Does it have pictures?
Those have all been redacted, I think.
If it's mainly pictures, I can read it. hey, speaking of pictures and action, there's a Marvel Champions card game that was announced at Gen Con.
I saw that, the Fantasy Flight Living card game, correct? Mm-hmm.
Is it Fantasy Flight? Yep, Fantasy Flight, Living Card Game. I don't know what a Living Card Game is, but it's coming out. And
Living Card Games are the new format for collectible card games, but what it is you get static packs of static expansions instead of going and saying, I really need this card and I'm going to try 300 times. You always get the same cards you're going for when you get the correct packs. Okay. It basically is a collectible card game in every other sense.
But there's not a crazy gray market economy where people are, you know, spending millions of dollars on cars.
Right. Exactly. There is still a small economy for it, but it's not nearly as bad. Living Card Game is specifically patented to Fantasy Flight. They've done it for a number of games like Dune. They did Netrunner. And then they
do not have Dune.
I thought they did Dune.
No.
Maybe, okay, but they did Netrunner a while back, and they've closed that up, but they rebooted Netrunner from CCG to LCG when they got that license. And they've done a few other ones.
Oh, Game of Thrones, Call of Cthulhu, Star Wars.
Okay. I'll check it out. Oh, hey, that reminds me.
And Legends of the Five Rings is their newest one up until this announcement. And theoretically, packs come out every month for it, so that you can continuously evolve your deck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, while we're talking about gaming news, just came out today, there's a Fiasco card game on Kickstarter.
What?
I know. We gotta get them. I want to say it was Mark Truman who came on and ran a game for us, 5 years ago. But, they're doing a card game now. It funded in, like, a second.
For Fiasco, you said?
Fiasco, yeah.
Yeah. Fiasco, the cinematic game of plans going wrong. Plans gone wrong.
And going back to the fact that I've been listening to you guys all morning on back episodes, you were mentioning that you'd done Fiasco, the playthrough this morning.
Mm. So. Yeah, it was a good time. It's only about an hour long. We didn't get to the tilt, but it was fun.
As I understand it, you guys didn't get to a large part of the game, but you guys did the first part, the first scene.
Yeah, it's he didn't really have time, but we got through the first scene. The tilt is kind of the big deal, but
and the final are the big deals. Yeah,
yeah.
You got to see Mike be an oblivious newscaster that was self-obsessed, and he was the star of the show. I laughed, I cried, I wanted more, even though the game itself is not my thing. Mike Lafferty is my thing.
Well, so I know Brandon hasn't actually played it. Well, and did the two of you only play that 1 hour?
Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, it was just an hour. Tommy Brownell was on with us. I know he and I were homosexual lovers in that, that particular scene.
Under the desk.
Under the desk. Yeah, that happened.
I've played 4 full games of it, 2 additional games that people didn't have time to quite finish. I gotta say, Fiasco's not my thing. I will be very clear that, like, there's I'll play it with the right group and maybe I'll enjoy it, but in the 6 times or so that I've played it, Fiasco is not my thing.
I understand it can get kind of mean in the second half.
Well, in the second half it does. It becomes a very PvP thing because you're, like, trying to shunt specific dice to everybody else. And for me, the way that I was role-playing all 6 games was I was role-playing to the way that the game was designed. I was role-playing my character without actively trying to screw people. And it's not because I'm not competitive. I'm really competitive in certain games. Well, in competitive games. But I don't feel like the way that I saw a lot of people do it when I was role-playing with them, they were screwing people by not playing their character, by trying to basically do whatever, set up any situation that worked that wasn't necessarily in character for them. And if I was in a situation that would send a die somewhere, I would send it because it was in character. And so to me, it was, yeah. I think that it doesn't mix well with the way that I like to play a role-playing game. I like heavy systems. I like to be very challenged. But screwing somebody over actively reads too much of diplomacy to me, and that's the one board game I won't play.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's one reason I don't play Hearts or similar card games anymore, because there's too much of it's built around screwing other people. And cannot be fun. Hey, we wanted to talk about The Boys. I understand why you've seen that. Before we dive into that, I just want to mention, I just found this on Comixology today. I'm a big fan of Garth Ennis's, who wrote The Boys, War Comics. He's got a new series for TKO Studios. Just came out this year. He's doing a series about a female Russian sniper squad in World War II called Sarah. You can get the first issue for free on Comixology. I hadn't heard anything about this. I'm surprised it's so under the radar. Anyway, Walt, what do you think about The Boys?
Oh my God, I love The Boys. I read the comics many, many moons ago, way back in the way back. And I got to say, you know, as far as like hanging with the comics, they've done that, but also some of the changes that they've made, I'm also cool with. So, I mean, there's a lot to love about this. Now his name's going to escape me. Judge Dredd playing Butcher.
Mm-hmm. He's
Sylvester Stallone's in it?
No.
Yes, Sylvester Stallone's in
no.
it.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and he's actually the actor that makes me really want to go and watch the show.
Carl Urban.
I should know that because he's like in a power couple with like one of my other favorite actresses, Katie Sackhoff.
Who has a TV show on Netflix.
Yes, which is it got panned in the reviews, but I've been watching it with my wife, and we love it. It's very intense.
Okay.
But the boys, absolutely fantastic. I mean, as with all our shows, this might contain spoilers. So if you haven't watched The Boys and are planning on doing it, then for God's sakes, fast forward like 5 minutes. But like,
I can't find the fast forward button.
It's right under the kick wall out button. So The Boys, very well done. Elizabeth Shue is phenomenal and very,
awesome.
Very creepy. The actor that is playing Homelander is doing a fantastic job. But I mean, as a deconstruction of superheroes and what they would be in a world obsessed with media, it to some extent reminded me of PlayStation's treatment of Powers. Powers is very good.
I love Powers.
Network.
I was so sad when they stopped.
But I mean, The Boys are just phenomenal, and the intensity of the show and some of the situations are fantastic. My wife was drinking something with a little bubbles in it, and it painfully shot out her nose when they used a baby to counterattack a hit squad coming after them. So
that sounds like Garth Ennis.
Yep. It's a very interesting take on if you haven't read the comics and want to dive in and play with the show, it's a very interesting take on, like I said, superheroes in a media obsessed world, when they're corporate controlled, everything is optics, and it has a tendency to go into wish fulfillment and show the dangers of wish fulfillment. Like, one of the main characters has always wanted to be a superhero. That was her jam, you know? And she went to all the superhero pageants as a kid. Yep, Starlight. She went to all the superhero pageants as a kid. Everything was, you know, unicorns and rainbows and capes and glitter. And when you get to the top, you realize that it's very cutthroat. And so it really highlights the dangers of wish fulfillment and like that pageant culture. So,
pageant mom too. It's not just her, because her mom made her do it. And so, you know, she enjoyed it and it was her dream, but it's very clear. She's fulfilling her mother's dream and her mother's pageant, you know,
Absolutely.
And so she can't even let her mom down and tell the mom the truth.
So this attacks many issues across the board. The dangers of privatization of military contracts. I mean, you name it. This series tackles it and does a pretty good job of trying to give old fans of the comic something to really be interested in, but at the same time, updating it a little bit. So if you followed the comic before, you're not going to be like word for word or scene for scene, like, yep, seen that, and just making a checklist. So yeah, very, very well done.
But Walt, like, it's entertainment. It couldn't possibly be trying to make any sort of commentary on the world we live in, right? Not like so many books that people are like, that's entertainment. There's no commentary there. We'll just keep going the way we're going and nothing bad could happen.
Yeah. But the upside too is that they're not, you know, like a lot of people have been dumping on things like Supergirl, which are like just blatantly like, this is how you should think because I'm Supergirl and we have this show. It's not like that. It's when it tackles those issues, it does it within the confines of the show.
Taking a discussion rather than a preach.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You know, and a lot of these issues you see from the character's pain, because these characters are all not so much damaged, but they've all been affected by superheroes working and living side by side. And it really does tackle the issue of collateral damage. I mean, Marvel Comics does it a little bit with their Damage Incorporated stuff, but nowhere near to this extent. In comics, if you want to see... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Damage Incorporated, is that different than Damage Control?
No, that's the one I'm thinking of, Damage Control. Okay.
The ones that I read of them were always super farcical type stuff. And but I think that later on they might have done some more serious approaches to that.
Yeah. The really good takes on collateral damage through the use of superheroes that I've seen in the last few were either all coming out of the current line of Valiant Comics, or from back in the day, you had Stormwatch Team Achilles. Mm-hmm. And that was also the same thing. They had that really intense take on what happens when these superpowers on a, like a high level, like Superman and stuff like that. What happens when they're not checked? And what do we as a people do about that? So I mean, it's The Boys is really well done. From what I understand, they're getting a second season. So we should be looking at more Boys and my favorite, more Butcher in the future.
Now, have you dealt with Drew Hayes's novels of Superpowered or the spinoff of Corpies?
What are some of the titles?
Literally Superpowered.
1, 2, 3, and 4 is the titles of the series.
And have you read
No, I haven't.
The
I'm going to have to check it out now.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. Wearing the Cape I've had. Yep.
All right. Superpowered is absolutely freaking fantastic. There's audiobooks if you like doing Audible, mm-hmm. Which are well done.
Very well done. The voices are very well acted.
It is these we have a hero certification program in college, and so kids who have powers can go through this to become a licensed superhero. There's a bunch of campuses across the country, I think like 7 or something, and one of them is in California. And it starts off with a focus group of these 5 characters that there used to be, there's supers who have control over their powers, and then there's powers who don't have control over them. And so this would be the person who has luck control, and this is specifically out of the book, who goes in, buys a lottery ticket, wins big, walks out into the street, gets hit by a car, bounced into a bouncy house. Bouncy house explodes, and so what he wins simply covers the damage.
You forgot 2 steps in that,
bill.
I think.
Yeah, I'm certain I did. But so he doesn't have any control over it, and so there's this political issue between the supers who are really looked up to and powers who people think are worse than being human, and some of the stuff that they go through in licensing as they go. Through the years, they get into a lot more and more of the characters that are on the campus with them, and they do deal with, some of that, as they're training, the collateral damage kind of issues. And the first class that the heroes are in, they're in 2 superhero courses on their freshman year. One of them is gym, where they run for like 2 hours a day for the first, 3 months of it, just to tone their bodies. And then the other one is the ethics of being a superhero. And so he really tries to do it. It's an excellent set of books. I listen to them on Audible. The first one starts off at about 20 hours. The fourth one is about 40 hours in playtime.
I absolutely love that series of books.
Yeah, the first 3 are real high watermarks. The fourth one is good, but I just don't think it lives up to the level. And then as a spinoff book, there is one called Corpies, where they aren't superheroes. They don't have enough power for that, but they're basically damage control kind of thing. Not so much going in and fixing stuff, but going in and worrying more about saving the civilians during.
That sounds really good. I'm gonna have to look all this up.
Yeah, so the author is Drew Hayes, and the series is Corpies, and there was one before that.
The Super Powers is the series. You can actually, as he was writing it, he posted it online for free on his website. So, and then
DrewHaysNovels.com.
Yes, and then you can get the actual book if you pay for it, and you can get it on Audible. So if you're really broke, he still wants you to read it. Just go to his website.
And nice. There's Mike using his superpower of awesome Google Foo.
Mm-hmm. Superheroes is fantastic. Seriously, I absolutely love it. I've went through it multiple times.
It's super powered, right?
Super powered.
Yep, got it. All right, I got it. And I have Kindle Unlimited, so I can read these for the bubble.
Yay! Kindle yeah, Unlimited, he really made it so accessible, beautiful. Which I absolutely love.
All right, cool.
And as for your comments on the boys, yeah, I've started. I haven't gone very far, but I definitely already see what you're saying, and I really appreciate that they aren't hitting you on the head with the hammer of be conservative or be liberal, because I feel that when people start being zealous about their agenda in the way that they push it with the hammer of TV shows, or people in general, it tends to make it tends to make people who are inclined to agree with you, who are reasonable and moderate, start going the other direction, just because your level of extremity is so much that the whiplash is, yeah, I think I'm just going to go the other way.
Hey, guys, I'll be right back.
Sure. So, but I did see the discussion of it already, and what happens when her dream come true, the first thing that happens to her when her dream come true kind of makes me go, oh, my gosh. I felt socked in the gut.
The way that you guys talk about that, that does remind me of Marion G. Harmon's excellent books of Wearing the Cape, mm-hmm. where, you know, she doesn't want to be a superhero, but all of a sudden she gets Superman level powers. And then there's all this marketing and such that's really getting in the way at times. But it is a semi-realistic look at, well, if this were going on in the world, how would we approach it? And Alice, I mean, for your own literary project, I see you with your ghost project that you toyed around with. You're toying with some of those same issues. You're not bringing them to the front, but I see them in what you talk to me about and what the way that you write some of it, with, you know, playing with those issues in the background.
And I play with it in a level of discussion where people on both sides can go, I agree or disagree with this. I don't hit somebody over the head with my opinion of that situation, because I feel that you need to open discussions in order to make changes one way or another. So, but thank you very much, Brandon. I really appreciate that. And I love Wearing the Cape, by all means. I think that did a very good job of that similar thing where, oh, and the guy comes out and he's like a tiny little waif of a man. And she's like, what? And he's like, well, they would never accept a brick that's my size. I have to put on that 300-pound suit.
It's all about the optics.
Yeah, it's all about the optics. He has to put on a 300-pound muscle suit because he's superhuman strong, and so he has to look like he has those muscles. And he's actually a waif of a man.
But this actually goes back to what I was listening to Walt talk about last night with Jason Tondro and all, when you guys were talking about best supervillains, worst supervillains, and how you guys, I don't remember how you got to Wolverine, but you were saying that Wolverine was always your guy in the comics, because here was a 5'2" little scrapper that can, you know, deal beat down. And, you know, that's something that I think all of us liked about Wolverine in the old days. Now he's so far from that image that he was.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he had a few muscles on him. He was toned, but he was that tiny little scrapper. And now they seem to make him bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well,
and
I think that, you know, the X-Men movies have something to do with that as well.
Yeah, because Hugh Jackman's a tall dude.
Yes, he is. Or as one of our best friends calls him, Jack Human.
Isn't that Human a great name, though? Jack Human. That's like, that needs to be somebody's Shadowrun character right there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Have you guys been looking at the Shadowrun stuff coming out?
Yes. We're going to be getting it. We love Shadowrun.
I love Shadowrun. Though I got to say, like, I'm a little grognard, short and gnome, because third edition, I felt that they started making changes and directions on and off that I'm like, yeah, I think I'd just rather stick with third edition in some ways, because like in fourth edition, they took away a lot of the 80s jack-in and that 80s vibe of what cyberpunk is. And then in 5th edition, they put a bunch of it back, but then they changed other stuff, toyed with it. So I'm a little grognardy. I'll be very honest with you, Chummer.
Nice. Have you guys been looking at any of the Cyberpunk 2077 stuff coming
out?
Yes,
I want it. I do want it. And I was like, ooh, if we buy the video game, we can get the book for free.
Really?
There was an offer for that.
I was going to be like, oh, yeah, the hell.
There was an offer for it. I sent it to you, Brandon. There was an offer that if you pre-ordered a certain package, you get the books for free.
Oh.
For the video game.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, I sent it to you like weeks ago, Brandon. I don't know if the offer's still going. Now I have to go find it. I was like, Brandon, are we getting this?
I probably just saw that it was Cyberpunk. Because I remember you sending this to me. There was no commentary of, you know, look more into this offer.
Yeah, I was like, can I go order it? Because I get the book for free.
I just want to get the game so that I can play side by side with Keanu Reeves.
Welcome back, Mike.
Hey.
Well, for me, my start in Shadowrun is way back in first edition when, like, B. Dalton and Walden books were still around. And, you know, you'd go to the mall with your mom, and you wouldn't really care about the store she wanted to go to, so she'd drop you off at the bookstore. And there was Shadowrun book, and I would just flip through the character section looking at those awesome pictures that they had of the different ones. And I still remember the orc mercenary who had, you know, one big tusk, I think a broken tusk on the other side, and this RPG. And it was just like, this is my person. Like, I need this right now.
Did you finally convince parents to buy it?
No, but I do have my first edition book on my shelf nowadays.
I have yet to play in a good Shadowrun game. I blame it because kind of the setting breeds paranoia and overcaution in players. So it seems like every game I'm in, they like spend half the time just taking out the bar they're supposed to be Mr. Johnson at, which is less fun than maybe it should be.
I think that you have not had great experiences. I used to GM 3rd edition a lot for RPGA, and I used to GM 3rd edition a lot, period. And I find that the way that I've GM'd it, I have good responses from people. And I'm always told that I GM it differently than the way that the majority of people run it. And I'm like, oh, really? But Brandon and I have always run it with the idea that you're people that are, you know, down on your luck, but you're still heroes. You're still... Yeah, so you don't have an identity anymore because you got screwed by the big man. But a bunch of you have these goals like, I'm trying to make this money so that my sister can get a surgery. I'm trying to make this money so my mother and I can run away to an island and actually live a life. You know, so there are heroic motivations in your backstory.
I'm trying to get this money so I can buy bigger guns.
But there are a lot of stories are about how you want to be, you want to make this money so you can retire to improve those that you love, the lives of those that you love that all got screwed with you. And so there is, so you do have a conscience. And if you read the Shadowrun books, those characters, you know, they have a couple really merc ones, but there are ones that really have this heroic motivation of, I don't want to be doing this forever. And I do care about things. There are things that I care about, and it shows that. And I think that that's the important way to run it. Whereas
that's what Mike's comment was. His was on the, like, you and I played in this gem game that we were told was supposed to be Mission Impossible.
If
you go and watch Mission Impossible, this is 30 minutes of planning, 10 minutes of execution, and then like 10 minutes of wrap up at the end or something like that. The old Mission Impossible. I'm not talking about anything Tom Cruise.
I know TV shows. I still watch them.
But Alice and I were playing it because we were playing it like Mission Impossible, and everybody looked at us and they're like, "What? Why are you guys thinking about this stuff? And like, aren't we just supposed to run in and gun?" And like, that's more Shadowrun. You come up with a plan, but it should be a loose plan, you know.
It's the old the plans in Shadowrun are much more like the way that military people talk about it. You come up with a plan, and then you expect it to go foobar. You know, you go in with a plan, and you just expect to, at that point, have everything go up in the air, and that's exactly the way it goes. This is why everyone buys a dock wagon, because you go, we're going to go in, we're going to do A, B, and C. You go in, and A and B have disappeared, and C is hitting you in the face, and you go, what the? And you go, Ned, Ned, dog wagon, come save me. And that's hilarious because that's like, for some characters, it is like, I'm going to spend all my resources in making sure I have a dog wagon to pick me up.
Now, have you guys seen the setting for Savage Worlds called Titan Effect?
I have not. Is that the one that about 2 months ago you guys were promoting?
No. Titan Effect is have you seen it?
Psychic Spy is class which genetically enhanced soldiers in a secret war in which the future of human evolution is at stake.
I have seen. Yes, I have.
So if you like things like Shadowrun, this is probably your jam, and it's for Savage Worlds.
Yeah, that
so it's not that
not
hard to pick up.
My jam though, Savage Worlds is. I'm willing to play it. I've only had bad experiences, but I can't say that's the system that did those experiences.
But Mike, we should try and see about setting you up with a good Shadowrun game or two. We just need to find the time.
Mike, if you liked Werewolf, that's what Shadowrun should be.
Yeah, and we know that you like World of Darkness stuff. So
I think it might just depend. I mean, I think there's certain old school gamers who get into a habit of adversarial relations with the GM, and so they play kind of overcautious, slow, and paranoid. You know,
that's new gamers too. Don't yeah. Pigeonhole old gamers. I've met plenty of new gamers like that.
Well, I had a GM back 20 years ago where if you didn't specifically tell him where you boarded your horses in the village, he assumed you just abandoned your horses on the streets of town.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, when you get ready to go to the next town, you're like, well, you're walking. Because you let Pancake go. So, sorry, buddy. Hey, we need to wrap up in about 5 minutes because Walt's got to go and I got to go. Quickly, congratulations to Jason Toundrew, friend of the podcast, who is now a Starfinder dev.
Woohoo!
So, woohoo!
There at Paizo. Big news at Gen Con seems to be Pathfinder 2 is coming out.
It came out yesterday, and you can get it at game stores already as of yesterday.
For people who are into Pathfinder, that is out there. Maybe we can get Owen Stevens on, although he's no longer at Paizo, but he's the person we know who's most likely to come on the podcast and talk about it. So,
other than Jason.
And Jason's West Coast, so I have a hard time talking to him. Maybe you guys.
I can get him. I'll go harass him.
I don't have other gaming news out of Gen Con that isn't card game or board game. Everything else I'm seeing is, you know, there's a new Batman board game coming out, which is kind of cool because there hasn't been one in, like, decades.
No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. We have one on our shelf. I'll go grab it right now.
There is
Hold
an
on.
Awesome miniature game. I have not played it, but it's on the right shelf, Alice, top level in the middle.
Boy, is it a miniature game or a board game? Because those are different things.
The Batman game, the miniatures game, is a like you set up a board and then it's one versus one with, you know, just all sorts of villains. My friend, his dad kickstarted it for him and he has yet to play it, and I'm like, dude, just send it up to me. It'll see action.
Okay.
And then Alice is pulling out a super fun one where you're defending, it's an Batman animated.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I thought that was a Gen Con release, but you have a physical.
No, this has been out for a few months, and Brand and I have had tons of fun with it already. So.
Oh, that's the one I'm talking about. Didn't know there was a board game like for decades before that one. So.
Funny.
Yeah, cool.
From what I saw in GTM recently, they are really trying to drive home on Batman because he's a superhero that's low powered enough that you can make a board game with, you know, a board rather than here's Superman and here's the world type stuff.
Yeah. There's also a Munchkin version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that's coming out.
Yes.
So
I've wanted that game, but, you know, funds are limited.
And, okay, if you're a Marvel Legendary fan like Brandon and I are for the card game, since we're talking, we are a comics podcast, Marvel Legendary is awesome. They do have a new expansion that launched as of Gen Con, and I forgot the name off the top of my head.
Revelations,
thank you.
Is what it is. But you can finally get Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, War Machine.
Yep, Scarlet Witch.
Hellcat is in it.
And Starlet Witch has a weird location tech to it, apparently, but we will see how that works. And and if you do get it at Gen Con, apparently you get a promo. So we begged a friend of ours to get it for us at Gen Con so we can get that promo. But if you're a Marvel Legendary fan, get that.
And Cryptozoic has a new Rick and Morty The Pickle Rick game. that was previously available only at SDCC that you can now get at Gen Con. So if you're, you know, I'm a big Rick and Morty fan. I don't know if I want to buy the Pickle Rick game, but that's just me. Well, hey,
can I make one quick announcement?
Yeah, go for it.
If you guys are fans of our friend Nick Garber, please jump on over to Kickstarter and check out Corvid and Sparrow, Birds of a Feather, the new graphic novel that he's launching from Apogee Comics, his imprint.
It's going to be 66 pages of awesome. So,
yeah, there's a lot of the art already up on the page that you can take a look at now, and it is kinetic.
Now, Nick is drawing fantastically.
Yes, Nick draws Corvid and Sparrow himself. Some of it is older stuff that he put in, from what I understand, of his work. And then I do know that, like, I don't think he did the whole comic by himself, though. I think somebody else is doing some of the art.
Yeah, he's listed as a letter.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, he's doing the letters, and Hakan is doing his art for this one.
Is it fair to say this is kind of a Birds of Prey sort of vibe?
More like Batman and Robin.
Yeah, okay. Batman and Robin. Actually,
speaking of Birds of Prey, Birds of Prey number one solicitation is out.
For fans of this podcast, you can go back and find an episode where we are generating his characters, Corvid and Sparrow, in a supers for supers. So you can get a little glimpse into the character.
That is a few months back, but yeah, that's in there somewhere.
Yep, it is.
Okay.
So,
well, hey, I know Walt's got to get to work. I have to do various stuff and things myself. So thanks, everybody, for listening in. Hopefully next week we'll be back to Liberty Legion Rises
and Metal Beaker
and Sober. And we'll talk to all you later. Take care.
Bye.
Adios, everybody. Thanks, guys.